The reading this morning is from the Book of Acts, chapter 2. This can be found on page 909 in the Pew Bibles. Acts, chapter 2, reading from verses 1 to 21. The coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Lord bless this reading from his most holy word. Amen.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your Spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What kind of church are we? What kind of church do we want to be? The kind of church that God wants us to be. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit love the church. For the church, the Father gave his Son. For the church, the Son gave his life. For the church, the Holy Spirit is given. We are to be a church loved by God. The love of God for his church finds expression in God's promises which are given to his church. Now we can imagine making promises to someone we don't love. In a courtroom, we might be asked to take a promise I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We are making a promise, but we're not required to love the judge or the jury just to make a promise. But you see, God is not compelled by the authority of any court to make any promises to his church. While remaining sovereign and free, God chooses to make promises to his church, to you and to me, as a way of expressing his love for us, as a way of binding himself to us by his freely made promises. One of the best known promises of God, and we get to see a reminder of it quite frequently in Scotland, is a rainbow. God said to Noah, "When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh." Every rainbow then is a visible symbol of God's promise making and promise keeping. This is the kind of God we are getting to know in Jesus. The kind of God who loves each one of us. The kind of God who would make us into a promise receiving church. It isn't always easy to be the one on the end of receiving a promise. Receiving promises, we need to exercise trust in the person who is making the promise. Do we trust them to do what they promise? Can we believe that they are able to do what they promise? In our community, we have learned to be suspicious. Suspicious of everything. There's no such thing as a free lunch, we say to one another. In response to God's promises, we need to depart from our suspicions and trust our Father, who loves us very much. And we need actively to receive and depend upon his promises. We sang together earlier, "For your covenant is sure, and on this I am secure. I can stand on every promise of your word." If we are to be the kind of church God wants us to be, we need to make these words more than something we sing together. We need to make these words the way in which we live together. What then did the Father promise? There are many examples of God's promises in Scripture. Our God is not stingy with his promises, but generous and abundant. As we think of what kind of church does God want us to be, we've been looking at these early chapters in the book of Acts. We want to be a church which receives God's promise. Let's look in Acts chapter 2 and see what promise God makes to us there. Just a few weeks ago, we read from Acts chapter 1. "While staying with them, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Jesus said, 'You heard from me. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' The risen Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, before his ascension, spoke with his disciples about the promise of the Father. He identified that promise of the Father with the gift and presence of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, the promise of the Father by which the church lives is the Holy Spirit. We read earlier in Acts chapter 2 of this Pentecost day when God fulfilled his promise. I'm sure you already know every church is a Pentecostal church. There isn't any other kind of church than a church which is born at Pentecost in the giving of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost arrived, the church were all together in one place. There came from heaven suddenly a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Tongues of fire divided and appeared to them and rested on each one of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit worked utterance within them. Something has happened. This has taken place. The crowd gather. What is this? What is this thing that has happened, which we see these men declaring the glory of God in a multitude of tongues? The crowd, as they wonder and ask about this, come up with their own answers. Peter stands forward to declare, "This that you see is that which God promised. And I'm going to explain it to you." Peter stood up with the 11, lifted his voice and said, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Give ear to my words. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was uttered through the prophet Joel. God kept his promise. He poured out his Holy Spirit in a visible, powerful way, and the church received the Spirit and lived in the power and presence of the Spirit. The promise is the power and presence of God's Holy Spirit. The Father keeps his promise. He generously gives his Holy Spirit to the church. He doesn't give to just one or two, but to the whole church, to all who are part of his church. The promised Holy Spirit is given. The Father promised and kept his promise. The early church received the promised Holy Spirit. In his power and presence, they served the mission of God. They made Jesus known. They lived as the kind of church that God wanted them to be. The promise is not only for the early church, not only for the first disciples or the apostles. The promise is for you and me, for all who are the church of Jesus Christ. God is giving his Holy Spirit to us all. God longs for us to receive this promise, this now fulfilled promise, as the Holy Spirit is given. To let the power and presence of the Holy Spirit be our life, our joy, our hope, our fellowship. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to his church. And through the power and presence of the Spirit, the church becomes God's gift to a needy world. This is the kind of church God is growing us into. This is the kind of church we need to become. What does the promise do? We can easily understand that promises do different things. I promise not to flood the earth again. I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I promise to be a loyal, faithful, and loving husband to you. Promises do and achieve different things. God promises his Holy Spirit. God gives his Holy Spirit. The church receives God's promised gift of the Holy Spirit. What will this promise achieve and do among us? Through the Spirit, God is made known. Those are great verses that Peter quoted from the prophet Joel. Look again at verse 17. "In the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." That's the promise of the Father. The Spirit will be poured out on all people. "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men see visions. Your old men dream dreams. My male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit. They shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below." Let's not go around the houses. Let's get straight to the point. This passage is a series of pictures from the Old Testament of the ways in which God has made himself known. Prophecy is making God known. Visions and dreams are making God known. Signs and wonders are making God known. The promise of the Holy Spirit when he is given and received will make God known to us and among us and through us. The Lord Jesus Christ said the same thing in the upper room when he was sharing bread and wine with his disciples back in John 15. Jesus said, "But when the Helper comes, the one I'm going to send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, the one who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. He will make me known." The Holy Spirit, when given to the church, makes God known. Let me ask you, how do you think it is that you have come to know God? It isn't because you've worked God out. It isn't because you're clever or persistent and have sought out God through all the days of your life. You have come to know God because God has given his Holy Spirit. Because through the Holy Spirit, God is made known to you. Apart from God's work in his Spirit, none of us would know anything of God at all. The church is to be the community where God is known and where God is made known. This is not a matter of our coming up with new ideas or programs about how to do this. Knowing God and making God known is the work of the Holy Spirit. We receive the promise of the Father, and God, through that promise, makes himself known to us and through us. Do you want to know God more than you do today? I hope there's no one here who would answer that question no. Can you think of a member of the family, a neighbour, a friend, someone you work with, who you would long for them to come to know God? Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive this promised gift of God. Let his power and his presence work within you, and you will know God. And through you, God will be made known to those for whom you pray. At the end of our passage, "It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not some, but all. This table spread before us. Saved is having your sins forgiven by the death of the Lord Jesus. Saved is entering into the family of God through Jesus and being made welcome at his table. Saved is enjoying the presence of the Lord Jesus and his smile upon you. Saved is the grace of God made real in your life through the cross of Christ and through his empty tomb. By grace, we have been saved. In the Bible, saved is never a reflexive verb. It is never something we do for ourselves. Indeed, the psalmist says, "No one can save the life of another." No one can save themselves. Saved is something which God does for us. God saves us only in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't do this for ourselves. We don't even know that we need saved by ourselves. Only receiving the promise of the Father as the Holy Spirit works within us will we call out to God for his salvation, for his mercy, for his grace in Jesus. Only receiving the Holy Spirit and calling out to God are we saved by God. The work of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine is to make us aware of God and aware of his grace in Christ, to open our lives to God that we may call out to him. So then, receive the promise of the Father. Let the Holy Spirit work within you. By the Spirit's presence in your life, call out to God right now. Perhaps for the first time, you're becoming aware of the Holy Spirit's work within you. Right now, God is pouring out his Holy Spirit all over this place, in all of our hearts. Receive that generous gift of God. Call out to the Father that He may save you, that He may take hold of you, that He may lift you up into more and more of His love and His grace. Call out to the Lord Jesus that His cross and empty tomb might be your salvation and your life. Call out because the Holy Spirit is right now at work in you. This is the only kind of church there is, a Holy Spirit church where God's promise is received, where God is known, where God is depended upon for salvation. Let's be this kind of church. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you in your love for us that you make us such great promises. We thank you that in your love for us, you give your Holy Spirit to us. Lord, we pray that you would work in us through your Spirit, that we might call out to you, Lord, save us. If we've known your salvation before, let us know it again. If for the first time we're calling out to you, Lord, quickly come to us and catch us up to you. Lord, fill us with your Spirit every moment of every day. Fulfill your promise to us always, that we might live in the power of your Holy Spirit and make you known in all our lives. Father, hear our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.